Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from September the 14th, 2022. I've had yet another active week in the market, so we'll go ahead and dive right into the major index overview as well as the Dolly asset allocation overview. And taking a look at the performance of many of the indices we follow on the video over the past week, it is positive from this perspective when we look at U.S. equities, as we see many U.S. equity indexes in positive territory with the Russell 2000 up over 2%. But that did retract a little bit following yesterday's action, as many are likely aware. But we also saw commodities up over 1.5% with GSG coming in there. And we also saw developed markets in positive territory, along with emerging markets just eking out in positive territory there as well. Looking at the chart of the S&P 500 this morning, it's the 25-point per box chart. With yesterday's action, we saw a reversal down into a column of O's there at 4,025, continued lower to 3,925, still holding above the bullish report line here at 3,900 at the moment. Still also seeing support there at 3,900, our prior low we saw on the chart here. So not too much impact other than the reversal at the moment. Looking for a potential reversal back into X's here at 4,000. And then from there, if we saw a move below 3,875, that would be a return to a sell signal, as well as a violation of the bull support line for the chart of the S&P 500 there. With yesterday's action, saw quite a bit of change to the shorter term indicators. We want to touch on those briefly. We did see the 10-week for the S&P 500 make one of the largest drops in its history, going back to even 1987, fell in about the fourth largest drop going back to 1987, looking at the largest 500 cap stocks in the market going back to that time. But saw a drop down to 38% as many stocks fell below their 50-day moving average. But if you actually take a look at the S&P 500 right now, it's been trading around its 50-day moving average. So we actually see a lot of stocks trading close to their 50-day moving average. So seeing a pretty large value here isn't all too surprising with many of those stocks trading right close to their 50-day moving average. So just something to bear in mind with that indicator action there. But additionally, we also did see the weekly momentum for the S&P 500 move into washed out territory. But ultimately, we don't see the index for many stocks in what we would call washed out territory necessarily. A lot of this indicator action was brought off by the big sell-off we saw yesterday, as we've seen in this case, the weekly momentum for the S&P fall down to its lowest level that we've seen since 2020. So noteworthy there in the fact that we've seen this abrupt drop in these indicators. But really, when you look at the intermediate term one, such as the bullish percent for the S&P 500, still maintains in a column of X's at this time, sitting there at 60%. We did see the value fall somewhat down to 58.25, but still not close to reversion at this time. So while we did see stocks drop, they're still maintaining buy signals, or at least those stocks that have maintained buy signals continue to maintain buy signals, which is a positive. Now, looking at Dolly for action over the past week, not a whole lot of change, so we'll be brief here. The really notable changes, we saw agriculture overtake energy on the commodity level from there. Otherwise, we saw small caps fall down in the size and style view of U.S. equities. And then we've seen Africa, Middle East move up to second, overtaking Latin America in international equities. But that's all we had on Dolly. And for more on the asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass that on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we move to the halfway point in this sensitive September era of 2022, let's review some of the top line score indicators we often take a look at. The money market percentile rank actually moved down over the week on a week-to-week reading, which we consider a positive. The percentile rank for the core of the equity market actually moved higher, which again will be considered a positive. And the long-term bullish percent of all equity funds still remains on this buy signal and at a chart level of 56. Although you could say it's one bad day or two bad days from a reversal down, the reversal down would still leave it at the 50 mark. And that would still say that, you know, half the funds of the equity realm are on a buy signal on their intermediate charts, which is pretty positive. Now, as we consider the asset classes that score above four, we've been oscillating between 4 and 5 and 5 and 4. And this week we're at 4, down from last week by 1. I do want to mention that energy moved is one of the ones that have moved back to the 4 or better score. Contrary to what people might expect, the energy funds are actually uptick week over week. The commodity related stocks are starting to pump up a little stronger this week. And what you're looking at is really the top 10 asset classes in the core of the U.S. market is at the 10th spot. Let's take a review of the U.S. equity versus non-U.S. that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. I want to point out that the spread is obvious, that, you know, U.S. equity has a good spread of score over non-U.S. But I think the critical point is we had been seeing the non-U.S. make a lower score for many weeks in a row, except this week. We had a good uptick over the week. We had a bad day yesterday, but so did the rest of the world. And net-net, the non-U.S. funds have a higher score than they did last week. And that's pretty interesting, I think pretty helpful in the context that we're looking for a global rally somewhere. We need the non-U.S. to kick in and pull some weight. You know, as we take a look at the value growth paradigm, both groups, had a down day yesterday. But when you take a look at the week over week reading, both groups, you know, kind of did similar things. I would say on a microscopic basis, both groups are still positive trending in score, and the spread is clearly value over growth. But that's something that we'll continue to monitor. As we take a look at the ranked asset classes and the regression of their risk and score, we have a positive calculation. We've had a positive calculation, and there's been an uptick in that calculation week over week. And then as we take a look at the long-term moving averages of all equity funds, which, as we have said, is in a column of those way down there in the low decile, we've actually had the second week in a row of a positive uptick. So for all 2022 to see this indicator uptick 2 weeks in a row, we've never seen that, but we did now. So we've moved up into the mid 6.5 areas, let's say. Very interesting. We'll continue to monitor that. And we would certainly continue to tell you if there's any reverse walk into X's that's close. But we want to monitor these ticks. I think that's important. You know, as we take a look at some final comments of charting the core percentile rank, let's go back and say we saw a buy signal in July. We saw a buy signal, you know, as we're coming in to help into August. We have chart levels in the high 90s. Very good. Very strong authoritative core presence against all asset classes around the world. Concerning money market, as we chart its percentile rank, we noted a positive sell signal. What do I mean by that? Well, we want money market to go lower. So a sell signal, you know, as we came in July area, we had some reversals back up, but now we had a reversal back down over the week, even counting yesterday. Now, I think the big theme to keep in mind is what goes on from here. For example, if money market gets stronger, the next buy signal on this chart would occur at a print of 42. So 40 to 42 is kind of a caution, major caution area of money market getting stronger against asset classes around the world. And of course, if the levels remain, yeah, kind of where they are and then head south, that's a positive for asset classes around the world. And we want to, you know, keep monitoring that 42 area as we go forward. Let me sum up 2022, the 9 months worth of it, as simple as this. That's the period of time that the all equity funds plunged below the 3-score line. And of course, we're still below the 3-score now. But I want to point out that over time, since July, we've been putting in, at least a series of a higher bottom, big pressure yesterday. We're still at this, what you might call a score positive trend line. And this is an area which I would call, you know, the area of all equity funds of being at 2.40 is a good area to hold. We want to see it hold that. That's something you can monitor as we go forward over into the next week. That would be positive to hold. So money market staying below 42, all equity funds holding at the 2.4 or greater level, things that would be positive that we can continue to monitor. But for more on the dollar and momentum and how things are faring, let's move over to John.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve. So the dollar has really continued its trend higher that we've seen for really all of 2022. More recently, we've seen just a minor pullback here to a logical area of support. But as interest rates continue higher and the Fed continues to raise rates to fight inflation, we would expect the dollar to continue to head higher as well. This dollar regime has been a little interesting and not really, it hasn't gone to historical norms as commodities have continued to do very well in the face of this rising dollar. But this is one area that with a really tough equity market, both domestically and internationally, U.S. dollar positions have been a very, very good investment for the majority of 2022. Now, looking at the RS spreads, Yesterday was a very interesting day. So remember, these spreads just measure the performance between a basket of leaders and a basket of laggards. The spread has been very volatile, especially on the domestic side so far in 2022. Yesterday was no exception. A big, big day for the leaders, even in the face of that large market down day. The leaders were not up, but they were down significantly less than the laggards. Most of the damage yesterday occurred out of those laggards, specifically the consumer discretionary names, and a lot of the weaker technology names got hit very hard as well. So yesterday was a pretty solid uptick for the spread. We had had a couple days of declining spread heading into yesterday's action, but the leaders definitely outperformed the laggards during that big market downturn yesterday. From a global standpoint, the leaders continue to look good compared to the laggards. Developed and emerging spreads still look good, are still trending up. So that's a good sign there. And for more on size, styles, and factors, we'll turn it over to Joseph.
Thanks, John. And, you know, over the past week, we saw quite a bit of volatility, you know, nice upticks across equity indices up until yesterday where we had that big washout. We saw a few changes here. We saw mid-cap blend move above small cap value within the Dolly size and style rankings. We saw similar action on the asset class group scores page as well, as mid-cap blend crossed above small cap value on the asset class group scores page as well. And we see mid-cap value in the top ranked position in terms of size and styles within both Dolly and the asset class group scores page. Just looking at a trend chart of a mid-cap value fund here, IJJ has a fund score of 3.63, trading near the middle of its trading band right now. And, you know, some pretty constructive movement over the past several months. So it's an area you could definitely consider for the time being. You know, we would still look at the value groups holding, you know, pretty strong leadership over the growth groups, as John mentioned just a second ago, and Steve touched on that value growth spread as well. So these value areas are still going to be your areas you're going to be looking for the most exposure with your broad equities. Now, moving over into sectors here, looking at healthcare and financials. Financials has started to slowly improve on the asset class group scores page here. So we see financial banks here crossing back above that 2.5 score threshold with the score direction essentially flat. So we started to see the downticks in that financial banks groups slow down a bit, which is a constructive sign. I would still steer away from exposure for the time being, but a positive sign in the short term. The financials group is in a similar boat with a fund score, average score 2.77 and about a flat score direction. So we've seen the downward momentum slow down in the financial sector. So that's a positive sign to look out for. Biotechs and healthcare have started to tick back up after pulling back earlier this month. So a group to continue to keep an eye on. Healthcare has flirted with this 3.0 score line a couple of times over the past month. We'll see if we can finally stick back above it here over the next several weeks. Looking at the financial select spider fund here, XLF, it's got a fund score of 1.29. So again, you're not going to encourage exposure here right now, given some of the technical readings. However, some of the short-term developments are positive. We do see it's in a column of X's here. We see resistance at 35.50. A move to 36 would be a welcome sign. You'd see this re-enter a positive trend, break through some notable resistance. So something to look out for on that XLF, that broad spider financial sector fund. And then a stock to look out for is the FactSet Research Systems, FDS. It's a 4-for-5er. It may be a little bit extended in the trading band here, although we see the weekly overbought or sold rating of 42%. So it's still perfectly actionable, but nice three consecutive buy signals here and a decent uptrend and above its April high as well. So we're seeing some relative outperformance from this one. And moving over to healthcare here, XLV was able to hold up against that 126 level once again, been an extremely important level over the last year and a half or so. We've seen it tested multiple times, and except for the June breakdown, has held each time. Now, the upside potential has been limited as there's been notable resistance at, you know, 134 with a couple of overshoots into the upper 130s and low 140s. So broadly, the healthcare space is definitely improving. One stock you can look out for is CVS, three consecutive buy signals, trading in a positive trend. Although it is a 3 for 5, it's shown pretty strong relative strength compared to the market this year. It's only down about 2.5%. It's actionable in the trading band with a weekly overbought or sold reading of 12%, and it gives you a decent yield of 2.14%. So one to look out for, definitely actionable, a little bit more actionable than FactSet with respect to the trading band, but a stock to look out for in an improving sector. But with that being said, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll go ahead and dive right on into communication services, consumer discretionary, and utilities. And first, looking at communication services, over the past week, XLC was actually down 62 basis points, while a number of the ETFs within the Spiders lineup were in positive territory, putting it in last place. And with yesterday's action, we actually saw it reverse back down into O's here, testing support at 53 again, after just briefly reversing back into a column of X's following Monday's action at 56, bringing it right back to the middle of the trading band. So saw that near-term rally negated for XLC. And generally speaking, we saw a couple notable breakdowns, saw one notable breakdown yesterday and another notable breakdown whenever we look at another particular stock. And the first one we wanted to take a look at is going to be Meta Platforms, symbol META, that being Facebook's parent company. And with yesterday's action, we technically saw it break this double bottom here at 156, following through breaking a spread quadruple or quintuple bottom, pardon me, there at 154, with today's action has fallen down to 150, already a 0 for 5 and has been for quite some time. So technically speaking, has been a weak stock, but have seen a pretty significant violation of support here at 156 with yesterday's move and including today's move. We now look to that 146 level and even 144, as this was, is if the stock were to reach these levels, it would pretty much negate all of its post-pandemic gains that it had had in that time following. So another one we would take a look at is going to, and really probably keep an eye on more so than Meta, because again, Meta has been weak for quite some time. The next one we look at is going to be Google, or Alphabet rather, C-G-O-O-G-L. And looking on its chart today, we saw it broke a quadruple bottom here at 104, also taking out that trend line. So it will fall to a 3 for 5. We did see this occur back in really April, as then it rebounded and ultimately moved back into a positive trend in August, but have now seen that trend flip back again, still looking at support at 102 for the chart. So may potentially be a hold for most right now while keeping an eye on support there at 102, but it's something to be aware of as far as looking at Google or potentially holding Google. Next segment we'll take a look at is going to be consumer discretionary. And on the chart of XLY, similar to many, we saw it reverse up with last week's action, moving up to 166. XLY removed back into O's with yesterday's action, still technically remains on a sell signal, and keeping an eye on support there at 154, which was the recent low and also where the bullish support line sits. Fund score of XLY still maintains at that 3.77 level. And actually, when we look at the sector broadly speaking, we saw it improve back above US money market following Friday's action, stayed there after Monday's action, is now pretty much close to tying with US money market again following yesterday's action. So I've seen consumer cyclical or consumer discretionary rather jockey with US money market here recently. So continue to monitor that one, potentially emerging away from US money market is what we're looking for there. But two stocks to look for in the sector, the first one being Chipotle Mexican Grill, CMG. It's a 4 for 5, ranked second out of 22nd in the restaurant sector matrix. Is a little bit overbought, a little bit extended at the moment. This trading band value has moved its way down, or that weekly overbought oversold reading has moved its way down a little bit. Still haven't seen this chart reverse down into O's, even with yesterday's action, but and still technically maintains a buy signal after completing its third consecutive by breaking a double top there at 1728. So a little bit of an extended name, but is one that you could potentially dollar cost average into if you were looking to maintain or gain exposure to CMG. Another name to look at within the discretionary space is going to be Ulta Beauty, ULTA. It's a 4 for 5, ranks in the top third or even top quartile of the retailing sector matrix there. did reverse down to a column of O's with today's action, but had actually maintained fairly well within yesterday's action, broadly speaking, compared to many stocks. But notable, and the reason we bring it up is because with recent action and last week's action, we actually saw Ulta move to a new all-time high, moving up to 448 here for the stock. So it broke out of a pretty significant range here for Ulta, and is one that, you know, even on a pullback today is potentially more actionable than it was even with yesterday's action as it traded lower. So Ulta is another one you can keep on the shopping list there. For the last sector we'll talk about, and it is a sector that often doesn't get a lot of praise, but is one that we wanted to bring up today, that utilities continues to maintain well as a leadership sector, has in recent weeks either matched and or bettered the market's performance, which is something that not many sectors can say. And looking at XLU, it's actually been in a column of X's since for about a week or so, and has not reversed down, and is actually up today over 1%, or was up yesterday over 1% when we look at it from that perspective. So XLU is still maintaining some strength there, and if you're looking for broad exposure, could consider XLU. But if looking more for specific narrow exposure within utilities, DTE, energy company DTE, operates within the electric utilities, ranks in the top quartile of the electric utilities sector matrix, is a 4 for 5, still maintained a buy signal since July when it broke this double top, has formed another double top and would be a second consecutive buy signal with the double top break there at 138. So it's a nice name that you could look to, and yields north of 2.5%. Another name is one that we've talked about before on this video, and that's going to be Consolidated Edison, symbol ED, ranks in the top third of that utility sector matrix, is a 3 for 5, recently moved to a new multi-year high, looking on the chart here at 102, still maintains in that column of X's as it stands today. So is another one within that utility space that you can consider, and has a yield north of 3%. So with that, we'll go ahead and continue our conversation on sectors and pass it on over to Will.
Thanks, David. Just a few thoughts for industrial staples and real estate this week. Mainly going to talk about consumer staples. I mean, kind of what better day to talk about staples after you get a pretty big exhale from markets yesterday. But before I get into staples, just some high-level comments on the other sectors. Industrial still sits in an equal weight position on our sector rankings. Surprisingly, not a lot of material indicator movements from that sector. Likewise with real estate, that's really right next to industrials, just slightly weaker, still in an overall kind of equal weight position on our rankings. Likewise, no real material movement that we saw yesterday, other than some very near-term indicators hitting a bit of washed out territory. But as for consumer staples, it continues to be an overweight in our relative strength sector rankings. It's its second in Dolly and has remained pretty robust in terms of maintaining relative strength buy signals. And then likewise on the asset class group scores page, the consumer non-cyclicals group here is still ranking above the broad market S&P 500 index funds group, which is tough to do given that you have an equity core rank in the 94th percentile. It is just shy of that 4.0 score threshold, but it has been jockeying back and forth between there. Overall, still presenting a technically healthy picture broadly for the sector here. Checking in on its counterpart, the consumer cyclical spaces, as David kind of compared this to money market, if you actually compare staples and cyclicals in terms of their average technical score, there's still a wide margin apart and deviating in a lot of instances where non-cyclicals are maintaining that higher fund score by a comfortable margin right now compared to their discretionary counterparts. So between the two, we would still be overweight towards staples based off of this analysis. Some funds to take a look at, investable products. First one, XLP, has really flagged and consolidated since posting a high in April of this year, but still above that bullish support line after successfully holding at that June test of this year. From the downside, 69 looks like a good level of support. On the upside, I'd like to see this at least reverse up into X's here, or if not, break out at $78. Some actually stronger funds to consider based off a fund score within the staple space. One is a small cap, a PSCC fund score over 4 right now. Also has traded relatively sideways since June, and actually January of this year, but relatively speaking, that's been a good outcome. A more focused fund to consider is the First Trust NASDAQ Food and Beverage ETF, FTXG. It's the best scoring fund that I've shown so far today. sitting on a point and figure buy signal at 27.50. Also a bit consolidated, I would add, but again, relatively speaking, that's been a good sign for a lot of these funds. Good support around 25.50. But overall, I think this is still a healthy picture if you're looking for some staples exposure. A couple individual names to highlight. One is going to be Walmart, still a weak attribute stock, so not in buyable territory by our ratings. But in terms of chart movement after this precipitous decline we saw in May of this year, it's steadily recovered, put in a series of buy signals and higher bottoms, and is coming up to test its bearish resistance line. So watch out for a break at 144 on Walmart. That could be an interesting picture that would at least get it back up to a two attribute rating from here. Another name that I have to mention is going to be Costco. It's one of the biggest weightings in broad staples sector fund, XLP. Five attribute held support yesterday at 512, which I think is noteworthy. It is traded down today around 508 levels. But overall, I still think this looks like a constructive picture. I think this could be an actionable stock right here. That's all I had to say today. So I'll wrap it up and toss it over to Jamie.
Not too much action to report within the materials and energy sectors this week. Materials remains eighth in the DALI sector rankings. The fund score of the Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, ticked up slightly over the last week, but remains in unfavorable territory at 2.11. The fund reversed down in yesterday's trading. We can see it now forming a triangle pattern here. So be interesting to see, wait and see which way that breaks out. Given the overall trend within the sector, you would maybe expect a continuation to the downside, also with the weakness of the fund score and the weak ranking in the DALI sector rankings. But at this time, I'm kind of looking for some direction from the materials sector. Energy, meanwhile, remains atop the DALI sector rankings. Not a lot of action within the sector over the last week, relatively speaking. We did see the fund score for the Energy Select Spider Fund, ticker XLE, tick up slightly over the last week, remains strong at about 5.4. And we saw XLE return to a buy signal with a double top break at 82 on Monday. So some positive developments within energy in an already, positive technical picture. One stock that I did want to mention, if you're looking to add exposure in the energy sector, is Cheniere Energy, ticker LNG. It's a 5 for 5, so strong buy, ranks in the top quartile of the oil sector matrix, recently returned to a buy signal, and now pushing towards an all-time high. One thing I will note is that it is verging on heavily overbought territory. So you may want to consult the chart. If it crosses above that 70% line, you may want to look to add exposure on a pullback or average into positions. As you can see, we are nearing the top of the trading band. One thing I did want to mention back on the materials sector, within the sector, we continue to see the same areas of strength, chemicals, forest products, as well as steel, all sitting in the top 10 of the DWA group matrix, as they have been for several weeks now. If you are looking to add exposure to the sector, one chemical name that stands out here is Albemarle, ticker ALB, a 5 for 5, ranks first out of 52 names in the chemical sector matrix, returned to a buy signal late last week, and also now trading at an all-time high. like Cheniere, it is verging on heavily overbought territory. You can see here the weekly overbought oversold rating of 69%. You may want to look to add exposure on a pullback, but overall, Albemarle is a standout in, what is a weaker overall sector right now. So that's all I have on materials and energy, and I will pass it over to Ian to cover technology.
Great, thank you, Jamie. So the broader technology space has obviously saw quite a bit of significant deterioration with movement on Tuesday, but that didn't really change many of the relative strength pictures. We continue to see technology sit in the seventh position in the DALI sector rankings in an equal weight classification. And we've really seen many of the areas just continue to kind of pull back from relative rally highs. So this can be seen when looking at that Invesco Equalweight Tech ETF, ticker RYT, continues to have a less than favorable 2.4 fund score, but also continues to just be on a pullback from the relative high of 280 down in the current position at 250. So we've seen some names move to sell signals with yesterday's move, but the bullish percent for technology, looking at a BPEC Tech on the platform, also remained in no column of X's after reversing up. Over the last week, remained in a column X's even with yesterday's moves at around 30%, chart level at 32%. So if we can see some little bit of a rebound from here, it could offer some potential buying opportunities with those favorable technical names. Many of the weak technical areas with weak low attribute ratings were among those hardest hit in yesterday's decline. So one name to kind of keep an eye out there for. I mean, obviously the movement of Apple is going to dictate much of the movement of the broader sector. But you can see Apple sitting here at a notable support at 154. It's a favorable five for fiver. But if it kind of broke through this level down to 152, it would generate a sell signal. But for now, it kind of looks like it's consolidating around the middle of that trading band. So could be many areas kind of looking like this, sitting either at support or close to support. Could be potential areas to look toward if we get a swing back higher to set up some near-term support levels. Shifting gears over into the cryptocurrency space, saw some notable improvement from many areas in the crypto space over the course of the past week. Several other areas burst back up into a column of X's, and even with yesterday's decline, continue to remain in a column of X's. So Bitcoin was off around 10% yesterday, but continues to remain in a column of X's on its default chart there. Not too much else to kind of touch on from the kind of broader perspective. Not really many signal changes. But did want to touch on one interesting note with Ethereum. So Ethereum is coming up on its a shift from a proof of work to a proof of stake in the underlying kind of technology of Ethereum, supposedly within the next couple of days. So they've targeted that before and pushed that shift back, but that's supposed to be happening over the next few days. But nonetheless, we've seen some notable improvement from Ethereum. So the chart continues to look pretty decent. We saw two consecutive buy signals, kind of a bullish catapult formation there, but that second consecutive buy signal given in July. And then with movement over the last week or so, we've got reversal back up into a column of X's to sit around that 1745 point. So continues to creep up toward that negative trend, that bearish resistance line. But we'll see if this any of this action in the next few days around this shift of the Ethereum kind of underlying code has any kind of further effect on the price movement. And then finally, in looking at the international equity space, I haven't seen kind of too many changes in the broad international equity picture. Seen actually just continued weakness. And looking at the broader emerging markets representative, ticker EEM, it sits on a multiple consecutive sell signals going dating back until July of last year. And you can see now we're touching at a spread triple bottom formation there at that 3850. But down at low levels, and it's not even in kind of heavily oversold territory. So continue to see a lot of weakness there from the emerging market space, especially. And a lot of that's been due to some near-term weakness from China. So as you can see, we didn't really see many changes in the terms of the constituents or the quartiles in our NDW country index matrix rankings. However, we did see China drop six spots over the course of the past couple of weeks to sit down there in the ninth position out of the 42 countries examined. And looking at some of that China weakness, you can look at the broad iShares MSCI China ETF, ticker MCHI, sorry. That continues to trade an overall negative trend, weak 1.26 fund score. But you can see it's trying to bust through this overall bearish resistance line. Happened a couple times, got up to it in June, fell back down, got up to it again in August, now fell back down. So we'll continue to see if that looks to be some pretty notable overhead resistance, that if it can break through that, could see some potential improvement from there. But nonetheless, certainly an area to avoid for now. However, in looking at emerging markets ex-China, looking towards EMXC as a representative from iShares, we've seen some improvement from there. India's risen a little bit in the rankings. Chile continues to rank high. We continue to see some higher ranking emerging market representatives outside of the China space. So looking towards the fund that excludes China could be a prudent route to go if you're looking for exposure in that space in the near future. Still is a weak fund score, but nonetheless on a buy signal, it gets a near-term support at 48 and kind of creeping up towards that trend line again up there at the 53 level. So with that, that wraps up with most of what I was looking to touch on here. I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
U.S. Treasury yields moved up strongly following yesterday's hotter than expected inflation reading. The U.S. the Treasury 10-year yield index gave a seventh consecutive buy signal when it broke a double top at 3.375%, continued higher to 3.475%, reached 3.475% this morning, matching its all-time high, multi-year high from earlier this year. TNX did back off from there. It's currently trading a little bit below 3.4%. So, you know, some potential evidence that, you know, this 3.75% resistance level may hold, look for further confirmation there. But at least, you know, it seems at this point to maybe be a level of resistance that's going to hold, which would be, you know, positive for the fixed income market at large, as, you know, there's been kind of just a runaway upward movement in bonds over the last several weeks, upward runaway movement in rates over the last several weeks. Following that hotter than expected inflation print, the Fed futures market is now pricing in a 30% chance of a 100 basis point hike at next week's Fed meeting. Prior to that CPI reading, the market putting that probability at 0%. So a significant change in, you know, expectations for the pace of rate hikes coming as a result of inflation not decelerating as had been, you know, the kind of market expectation. And the overall relative strength picture within the fixed income market has not changed too much over the last week. We continue to see inverse fixed income atop the rankings. Meanwhile, floating rates, short duration, two of the more defensive groups remaining in that yellow zone with scores between 2.5 and 3.0, and the majority of the groups remaining in the red zone with scores below 2.5. So, you know, a very weak fixed income market overall. Obviously, yesterday's move only exacerbating that. At this point, you know, clearly the trend in rates is upward. You know, I would bet at this point that rates are going to stop at that resistance level, but it is, you know, something that you want to keep an eye on, as, you know, we saw a reversal down there and a pretty strong reversal earlier this year. And the fact that we've kind of stopped there once again, not just continuing through with the strong upward movement that we saw yesterday, you know, potentially something to keep an eye on. A reversal would be, you know, welcome relief for the bond market, as well as, you know, a potential signal that some of these more risk on groups, some of the long duration, you know, credit bonds may start to have some upward movement. One other thing that I will note is that we also saw high yield bonds move down yesterday as credit spreads had reversed up once again. This is the chart of CBUS 10-year spread, measures the spread between high yield US corporates and treasuries, had been declining over the last couple of weeks and then reversed up with yesterday's action, hitting 5% once again. We can see a kind of triangle pattern forming here. So also something to keep an eye on, as this will be a major driver of high yield performance moving forward. Moving on to commodities, they remain atop the Dolly asset class rankings, and agriculture has actually moved ahead of energy within the last week to take the top spot within commodities. This is something we've talked about over the last several weeks, looking at the continuous commodity matrix. We had seen concentration at the top of the agricultural groups with one or two energy groups. We can now see the top three, all agricultural groups, followed by natural gas, and then a couple more ag groups. So really, you know, seeing more evidence that the relative strength within commodities now lying with those agricultural groups, and really the area that you want to focus your exposure on. Not too much movement on individual charts over the last week, but a couple that we'll take a look at. First, crude oil reversed down in yesterday's action. You may remember broke a spread triple bottom last week, taking out pretty noticeable. 86, getting all the way down to 82. It is trading just below $90 currently. You know, if it were to make it to 90 today, that would result in a return to a buy signal on the default chart. Although I think even if that were to happen, you would still have to conclude that the kind of downward sloping trend, you know, from the left to right that we see here remains in force, at least until we, you know, kind of get past a previous high, which hasn't happened since June. And then finally, taking a look at natural gas, some positive action for natural gas over the last week, found support at 780 on its on its 10 cent per box chart and reversed up, has continued higher today after an announcement that the Biden administration will be working with Ukraine to supply them with natural gas, and is now trading just under $9. So, you know, when discussing energy equities, talked about Cheniere Energy. One of the reasons to like that stock is that it does, as the ticker LNG indicates, operate in the natural gas space, which has been stronger than crude over the last month or two. So also a way to kind of just diversify away from the kind of, you know, crude driven prices of the overall energy sector. So overall, fixed income, you know, the market weakening further as rates moved up strongly yesterday, although we are potentially now seeing the 10-year run into resistance, so definitely a level to keep an eye on there. Meanwhile, agricultural groups now atop the Dali commodity rankings, kind of confirming what we've been seeing in the continuous commodity matrix over the last several weeks. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, and I will pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So obviously yesterday's action was a huge surprise to market participants. That inflation number came in really hot and had a dramatic effect across the board in markets. So we saw, as Jamie mentioned, rates move significantly higher. The odds of the Fed raising more than people had thought kind of moved up in terms of, you know, the probability for what people think is going to happen. And then there was a bunch of effects, obviously, throughout the different sectors. A lot of those lagging sectors yesterday really got hurt with the rise in rates. And a lot of those are the growth names, a lot of consumer cyclical names. And those are the type of areas that are very susceptible to higher rates because you're kind of discounting those future cash flows at a much higher rate. We also saw some deterioration in a bunch of the short-term indicators. That'll be something to watch over the next week as hopefully the market can kind of grip here and then continue to move higher despite that higher inflation print that we saw. So we'll be back next week to talk about any changes that we see over the coming week.